When George Poe would come to town in the late 1800s, the newspaper headlines often read, "It brings the dead to life." The "it" was the respirator that he'd invented. George Poe, like his cousin Edgar Allan, was drawn to the drama of life and death. Our literary detective, Paul Collins, has dug up the story for us. Paul joins us from the studios of Oregon Public Broadcasting in Portland. Paul, thanks for being back with us.
Oh, it's good to be here.
They were cousins, but not what you'd call close, right?
No, actually, George was only 3 years old when Edgar died. So any influence that he had would have been a fairly unconscious one, I think.
And how was it that George Poe became known as the King of Laughing Gas?
Well, he was working as a chemist, and he decided that he focused on how to mass produce nitrous oxide. And he wound up building a chemical works in Trenton and pretty quickly became the largest producer in the country and was supplying something like 5,000 dentists across the country with their laughing gas.
Mm. This interest sort of at some point moved to oxygen and the respirator?
Yeah, and there had already been a long tradition of people sort of tinkering with artificial respiration. And there had been a number of attempts of people trying to use bellows and things like that to come up with some kind of mechanical respirator. And he decided to apply his expertise with working with gases.
And how did he test it?
Well, he took a great interest in the local rabbits all of a sudden. There were suddenly not many rabbits hopping around the Poe Chemical Works in Trenton. And what he would do is he would asphyxiate them and then rig up this apparatus. It was sort of basically a pair of brass piston cylinders with tubes leading out of them that you operated with a treadle or with a handle. Mm-hmm. And one of the tubes pumped in there and the other one drew it out.
Hmm.
And after a great deal of tinkering, he finally got this to work pretty well on the rabbits.
It would revive the rabbits.
Yeah. Well, that left the big question of whether it would work on people.
It's a little hard to get volunteers for that, I imagine.
Well, you would think, and yet strangely enough, he actually did get a volunteer. He moved on to larger and larger animals, including doing a demonstration on a dog in New York City.
Mm-hmm. This was a very famous instance, wasn't it, or at least at the time?
Yeah, he basically went on a tour, kind of an animal choking tour in 1907 and 1908. Where he went from city to city asphyxiating rabbits and rats and dogs. And he would do this in front of audiences of physicians who were all duly impressed.
Yeah.
And this is actually how I first came across the story. I was working on an utterly unrelated story when I came across an article in the New York Times that ran in 1908 about one of these demonstrations over in Brooklyn where he basically smothered a dog and then used this device to revive it.
Hmm. Can you tell from your investigation, Paul, if the animals would suffer any permanent effects by being suffocated and then brought back?
It's hard to imagine that it was very good for them, but at least in the case of the rabbits, he apparently had one, I must say, very unfortunate rabbit at his chemical works that he apparently smothered and revived 11 times.
Hmm. Paul, why is not more known about George Poe?
I have to admit, I was quite surprised at how little... essentially that nothing had been written about him since he died in 1914. He's forgotten in part because he was simply succeeded by other more successful inventors. I think if he had been in good enough health and had lived long enough to continue working on his device, mm-hmm. he may well be reasonably well known now, but he never had that opportunity.
Paul Collins, professor of writing at Portland State University, and his article on George Poe is in the current New Scientist magazine. Paul, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you.